Welcome to Listen Bitch Presents Tell Me Why You're Special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about overcoming, we talk about surviving the things that should have taken you out. Because the truth is, life can change in a single moment. One phone call, one decision, one night, and suddenly everything you thought was normal is gone. Most people never imagine they'll have to fight their way back from tragedy, but some people do. And somehow they come back different. Not perfect, not untouched, but alive. And when God keeps someone here through impossible circumstances, you have to ask why. So today we're talking about survival and faith and healing and what happens after you wake up from something most people never would. Today's guest is Christopher Smith. He is a man who survived being shot in the head, spent 49 days in a coma, and woke up with a mission to help others choose hope. Hello, Chris. Where do we start? Do we start date night? Do we start the moment you wake up?
Oh
What
man.
point do you realize even what the heck is going on?
Well, let's see. Where do we start?
The beginning, maybe? I don't know.
How about 5 years ago, if you told me this would have happened, I would have told you you're full of shit.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, well, let's see. We can start from, okay, I've been told all this because I don't remember anything. So the only thing I remember from that day, I was driving home that afternoon on 11/24/21, and I was told that I went out on a first date with a woman named Leslie Reeves. We met for a beer at the local bar up in Farmersville, Illinois, called the Uptown Saloon. Then after that, we went back to my house to make a pizza. No, that's not a code word for anything. We were really making a pizza because when her and I were both discovered 13 or 14 hours after we were shot, I was found on the kitchen floor. Initially with no pulse, but I came back because the emergency responder guy that was there was actually my best friend, and he kind of freaked out, broke protocol, was screaming my name at the top of his lungs. And the third time, he said I took a gasp, came back, gazed up, and said I'm effing freezing. And then I was out, and they found her murdered behind my Christmas tree, and it was her ex-boyfriend Bobby Tarr. I hate even mention the piece of crap's name. He put a tracker on her van. And he tr apparently he was tracking us, casing the whole town of Farmersville, Illinois, since like 11 p.m. that night. And he broke my back door, shot me in the head, left me for dead. And then I guess only Tiki, my dog, would know, who was found cuddled next to me when I was discovered. And so that was the first thing I remember when I woke from a coma. And they all filled the blanks and was, you know, I drove past Denny's house looking at my truck, my F-150 dashboard. And saying 4:45 p.m. and like the inner voice, the gut feeling we all have, stay home, don't go out, stay home, don't go out. And the next thing I know, I'm waking up at DePaul Hospital in St. Louis, Missouri, staring at the dry erase board. And like, I started screaming some colorful words. I don't want to,
Yeah,
you
no, I
know,
can imagine.
deafen your audience's ears, but let's just say they're very colorful four-letter words. Nurses came rushing in. Chris, calm down, calm down. You were shot in the head by Leslie's ex-boyfriend. And I remember going, I don't know an effing Leslie. I didn't know her. Apparently, we had met on Facebook dating, which is a part of Facebook that I didn't even know existed up until again now. But she was a concealed carry trainer, taught women self-defense. You wouldn't think a lady like that would have a psychotic ex-boyfriend, but if she would have told me, I know myself that there's no way in heck I would have went out there because I had my daughter 50% of the time. I just started my own company up and I was living the bachelor life, having a great time. And you know, when I had my daughter, I had too much to lose, you know, and the biggest thing that I have lost is having her 50% of the time and 4 years with her, then I'll never get back again. I mean, other than the physical limitations I've had, I mean, I was paralyzed completely on my left side. I've fought my way back. I've done a lot of off-shelf treatments, meniscal stem cells being one, which I'm fighting like hell right now to get FDA approved. And I did remember one other thing, which there's no way in hell that I was about to tell any doctors and nurses. I had an NDE, a near-death experience. I remember sitting at this long table in this like this dark type room. I say it was like a shotgun, like an old shotgun style house, but like. I was like at a long wooden table, something you see like out of the Last Supper, something. That's what I, you know, or something like back in the medieval times, something like that. And then to my left was John. Then to the right at the middle of the table was Dave. And then to the other middle across from Dave was Roy. And then down in the distance, I could see a figure, but I couldn't make it out. John looks at me and said, "Chris, we're angels. We're not here to scare you, but you've been shot in the head." And the next thing I know, I see this figure walking out of the shadows to me, getting closer and closer. And I'm like, it was my dad who passed away when I was 8 years old. He was killed in a truck accident. And his curly blonde hair, his blue eyes, and he walked up to me. And I remember turning around looking, and it was like a doorway. It was like all green. And I could see my truck out there and my dog Tiki looking at me through the window. And the next thing I know, it's like I'm zapped in. I don't know if we were floating, I don't know where we were at, but we were like, it was so green, beautiful, and warm. It was like he was to my left. Like it's like we weren't driving, but we were driving. And he's like, "Chris, I'm here to protect you. This is why I was taken away when you're 8 years old. So I can be here to take care of you and get you through this. It's not your time. I will see you again. You're going to go on to do great things and make this world a better place and make changes in millions of lives."
Wow.
And the next thing I know, then I mean, there's more to it than it, but there's it's all in my book. Gotta give
Yeah.
myself a shameless plug, but I saw heaven. I didn't want to leave. It was peaceful, it was beautiful. I mean, it was something, I don't know, another dimension, or I didn't meet God, didn't meet Jesus, but we do go on after we die. That I can promise you that. And we do have angels, they're real. I mean, but John, Dave, and Roy, I don't know, never an angel named Roy, but they're like,
Yeah.
they're angelic. I couldn't see wings, but they were like cloaked and like black. I don't know. You could tell like they look bigger. I mean, it was something I don't even know how to describe it. It still gives
Yeah.
me chills to even talk about it.
That's amazing. I
I
mean,
mean,
all of this is a lot to process, especially like the fact that you don't even remember setting up the date for one. So it's
no.
like this just bizarre
I had a better
happening.
chance of being struck by lightning or hitting Powerball.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is wild. And what is the, I mean, you're talking about some of the physical issues that you went through. What is
2 days
that?
after, so the second day after I woke up from the coma, I woke up on, I was shot at 11:24, 21. I woke up on 1:22. I'm sorry, 1:12:22. And the next day, this neurosurgeon, Dr. Williams, walks in. Ironically, my little sister's a neurotelemetry nurse, which I knew she was an RN, but I didn't know what the hell she did. You know, I'd assume she was a nurse. And I got to tell you about this, but this is back in COVID 2020. You know, she's younger than me. So, but I get a video from her and one of the fellow nurses. They're on the freaking IV pole rolling down the hallway. I want to be a stripper of music in the background. That was back in COVID, though. So, anyways, but they were having fun at the hospital. But I had no idea that she was a neuro nurse. So her boss was, they fought like hell to get me transferred from Springfield, Illinois, down to St. Louis to a really good stroke recovery hospital. Who knew we had one of the best in the country here? Because I sure as hell didn't know. And he walked up and sat me down and got me out of bed into the wheelchair. And he said, "Chris, I'm not going to BS you. I know your family, your sister works for me, yada, yada, but you're never going to walk again." And he told me that. I looked him straight in the eyes, bawled my eyes out, and I said, "Victor, you just told the wrong person he can't do something because I'm going to do it out of spite to prove you wrong." And he said, "Promise me one thing. You go on and tell your story to as many as you can, and you get doctors like me not to give up on patients like you." And that's what I've been doing. I wrote a book, which became a best-selling memoir or whatever the hell you want to call it. I wrote it on my iPhone with my right hand because my left hand doesn't work, so I'm unable to type. And a couple of things I did when I woke up from a coma. I erased the word "can't" out of my vocabulary. We can always do anything. Can't ain't ever done shit. We can do whatever we want. If you're not able to do something, to say, "I'm not able to do it, but I will do it eventually." I mean, life hands you lemon and limes. You got to dig down deep for that tequila and that sugar water. Make yourself poor man's margaritas.
Yep.
I'm a musician, and I wrote a new song. It's called "I Woke Up with a Bowl in My Head." And the best line is, "There ain't no crying with a bullet in your head."
Yeah.
I mean, if I can overcome this, people can overcome anything in life.
Right.
We are all unstoppable.
Are
Nothing
you
can.
wa are you paralyzed, Chris? Can you walk now?
I am partially. I can walk with an old man walking stick, my cane.
That's awesome.
But I'm good for about 20 steps with nothing, but it's a little hairy. I gotta put my arm out like a bounce in a little air
Yeah.
box. But I'm getting there. My arms
That's
coming back to
amazing.
life. My hand is like the old, my hand's getting back again. I can close it, but I'm unable to do, straight
Yeah.
out, palm up, but it's coming back. I
Yeah.
call it's getting the F in the class. I got about a C on my arm, and my legs got an A plus.
So you really did take the word can't out of your vocabulary because I mean, I think that's amazing and
Oh yeah.
every
You
step
have to.
matters. Yeah.
You have to. I mean, I refuse to roll over and die, so to speak.
Yeah, me
According to
too.
medical science, I should be on a ventilator, bedridden with severe cognitive issues, deficits. They're surprised because a bullet hit my frontal, my temporal, and my parietal lobe. In a breast behind my right eye, in my frontal lobe, which our frontal lobe controls all of our voluntary motor functions.
Yeah.
So it's like what we think about having to do, obviously. But so mine hit the right side, so it affects the left side of our body. So if you have right brain damage, the left side's gonna be affected. If you have left brain damage, right side's gonna be affected. So I've learned more about the brain than I ever wanted to know in my entire life, but I've had
Yeah.
to. I literally got to work studying my butt off because I am determined to be 100% to run with my little girl again and kick
Yeah.
soccer ball with her.
Yep. And that's the thing about the brain that I think they didn't know this a long time ago. Everybody just thought the brain was kind of in a set state and it's not.
No.
Neuroplasticity is an amazing thing and you get to repair every connection. It's just one step at a time. So
Right.
like, I
It's like
mean,
I'm forcing myself now to use my left hand. I mean, I use my right hand to guide it, but I mean,
yeah.
to like open kitchen drawers, and it's like trying to make it remember. Because basically, your brain has forgotten how to
Exactly.
do things that you've been doing your entire life.
Yeah.
And you can retrain your brain to remember.
Yeah.
It's
I love that.
possible.
Yep. It sure is. The brain is magnificent. I think we a lot of times are just kind of walking through life taking it for granted, but it is like
Everything.
it's the central system of our existence.
Yeah,
It's
I mean, having to
incredible.
learn how to tie your shoe with one hand makes you
Yeah.
very, very grateful for everything.
Yeah.
I mean, just like we all do. I mean, I had a great life, but I'd still bitch about everything. Driving home from work, just like yada yada yada.
Yeah.
I've always believed in God. Okay, I was
Yeah.
raised Catholic. I say a C, E, and F Christmas, Easter, funerals, but
Yeah.
I got away from the church. I go to church now. I'm non-denominational. I did get rebaptized. I'm not trying to shove the Bible
No,
or religion down
I'm happy
anybody's
to
throat.
proclaim Jesus is king on this show because I think
Oh,
that's an
hey,
important
you know
part of
what?
our experience
Amen.
here. So,
Amen.
yeah,
That's why
I
I'm
love
here.
that. Yeah.
That's why I'm here. I mean, he put me. I say I'm on a mission from God. I'm like, I'm not trying to rip the Blues Brothers off, but I really
Yeah.
am.
Yeah.
I'm here to inspire, motivate, educate, and restore faith in God and Jesus to the masses.
Yes. I mean that's the greatest mission that you could ever be given. So I feel like is that kind of what
Best
came with the
job I've ever
message?
had.
Yeah, is 'cause I feel like sometimes too, especially going through what you've gone through, what did it initially feel like, number one? Inside to really realize that you survived something you shouldn't have, and then when did the weight of the mission actually hit you? And also, is this guy in prison? Because what the
Yes, he
hell?
is. Yeah,
Okay.
he's in there for life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although Old Town Square hanging would be nice, but anyways.
Hey, we're getting there. I think it's slowly. Like people are ready for that.
Funny you would ask me about the mission. So I go to a really cool church. It's called Morning Star here in O'Fallon, Illinois, where I'm sorry, O'Fallon, Missouri. I was in Illinois, but I ended up having to come back to Missouri because that's where my family was at. They took me from Illinois via ambulance, yada yada. Anyways, but yeah, your guests can just Google me. I'm all over the internet. It's like, I'm a musician. I've always wanted to be famous for my music, not for getting shot in the head, recovering. But God gives you can always pray about something, but he'll give you what he wants the way he wants when he wants to. So a lot of people said Chris has always had a mission for it. I was like, yeah, he just had to smack me upside the head to get my attention. But I'm here to show people that miracles happen, that his grace and greatness is great and redemption is possible. He redeemed me. He gave me a second lease on life to go around proving to people that God is real. And Jesus is, Jesus, his son, has died on the cross for us.
Yep,
And
amen to that.
there's a heaven. We go on. I promise you that. I was always scared to die.
Yeah.
I'm not anymore because I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
No, I think that I'm not going to say like your whole experience is incredible, but what you've taken from it, I think, is amazing. And I've got people, that's the whole point of this show is that I want people to come on here and show their relatability to understand like everybody has a story. And so for
Yeah.
people listening, like, no, you don't have to go get shot in the head to tell your story. Like,
No,
that doesn't have to be
I
your
highly advise against it.
that doesn't have to be your starting point, but like every single story matters, and it's that, you didn't have to share this. Like you could have had this, you could have kept it to yourself. It didn't have to be
No.
something that changed you into helping other people, but it
Well,
is a real experience.
I hate to keep cutting you off, dang
Yeah,
it.
no, you're good.
My buddy who's on the radio, he's like, Chris, damn it, I love having you on the show, but let me freaking talk. I'm the host.
No, you're
But
good.
what I was gonna say about the mission and everything, but I really didn't even talk about the near-death experience until 2.5 years later. I
Yeah.
was shooting my CBS 48 Hours episode, and Erin Moriarty, the host, asked me, she's like, did you see anything? And I said, well, yeah, my dad gave me a message, something that I would have known. I was 8 when he died.
Yeah.
His best friend put two joints in his coat pocket in the casket. And he told me, he's like, Chris, you make sure and tell mom to tell her to thank Brad for the two joints you put in my coat pocket. She'll know what you mean. Therefore, you'll have proof now.
Oh, wow.
And I told her that when we were all doing the impersonal interview at their house, and she started breaking down crying. And she, it's my proof.
Yeah.
I mean, now I know my. I mean, I fought like hell that I had to go with my dad on that run. He was 18-wheeler over the road truck driver back in the
Yeah.
day, back in 81. He used to take me like on regional short runs with him, and it was only up to Keokuk, Iowa, which was only like 3.5, 4 hour trip. And I fought. I'll never forget. I fought like hell and pleaded and pleaded and pleaded in that driveway that I had to go with him. He's like, Chris, you stay home. I'll see you again. You take care of mom. I love you, and I'll see you again.
Yeah.
And that was the last I saw my dad until that night. All shot. So, I mean, there's too many damn quinky-danks or things to even
Yeah.
be coincidences. This is all divine intervention. All of it is. And about the mission, I had no idea what it was. It took me a few years to figure it out, too, up until about last year. As I was saying, I go to a really cool church. So I got Pastor Keith and Pastor Mike. They're both the pastors there. And they're great guys. I'll never forget when they came over to my parents' house because I had to stay. I had to move back home. Great. At least I wasn't in the basement. Hey, I wasn't in the basement. No, but I'm not. That was about a year and a half, but I'm back at my home now. But like Chris, you'll find out as time moves on.
Yeah.
And I have a return to the stage. I wrote the book, and I'm here spreading the word, giving proof of miracles, proof of God and Jesus to everybody now.
Yeah. I don't want people to get the wrong idea that this mission has been easy for you because we know the recovery.
No.
We know that this is hard, no
It's
matter,
literally been blood, sweat, and tears.
no matter how
Several
much
brain
God tells
surgeries.
us. Yeah.
I mean,
Were there moments where you wanted to give up, and what was it that really kept you moving forward physically and emotionally?
well, not really that I wanted to. I was very angry.
Yeah.
Really angry. Angry at the piece of shit that shot me, angry at God, but then it's like my little girl kept me on. She's 14 now. She's not little. She's
Nice.
going on 15.
Yeah.
But she was like, "Daddy, don't cry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like she was the adult.
Yeah.
And I mean, I made her promise. I said, "Honey, I will run with you again, and I'm not
Yeah.
gonna break it to her.
Right.
Not going to."
Love that.
And she was the one that kept me driving. And then knowing, my NDE, what I mean, it's like he had me here, and I would always question, why me, why me, why me? And then one morning I woke up and, why not me? I'm persistent. I'm a pain in the butt. I'm a pain in the butt. I don't stop. I've got to drive. I mean, I don't take no for an answer. And I just keep going and going and going and going. You just got to. The power of the human spirit is unbelievable, and we are unstoppable. All things through Christ make us stronger.
I very much agree with that. Did you have to process anything about like the fact you survived and someone else didn't? I mean, was that ever something that came into play or?
No, I mean, honestly, people ask me about PTSD. The only thing I do, I just miss the life I had, but I have a better life now. And I feel sorry for her family and her. I mean, she was apparently estranged from her parents. And like I said, I don't know
You don't
anything.
know anything.
I
That's
don't know anything.
crazy.
I don't know anything about her. Only from what, I mean, a lot of her friends have reached out. They've come see me play some of my shows now. And I mean, she seems like a great woman. She was great, you know? I mean, but I mean, I'm sorry, but I don't, I
Do you
mean,
think it's kind of a gift that you don't remember the shooting, that you don't remember any of that?
yes, I mean, I wish I did, but I mean, if only my dog Tiki could talk. But I mean, God bless her for laying there with me by my side the whole time. I still haven't seen the crime scene photos. They won't show them to me. Like, you want you? I'm like, trust me, I can handle it, but what it is, what it is, you know.
I mean, you just can't unsee sometimes the things you see, and neurologically, I think that as far as you've come, there's no point in stepping backwards, right?
Yeah,
Like of like
that's
your
right.
body's gonna feel that, your brain's gonna feel it, you're gonna be back in that moment, and I'd say I
Just
think you're
gotta
forward
take that rear
looking.
view off the windshield and keep looking forward.
How important was it that you reclaimed your joy? Getting back to joking, singing, living your life.
Funny, I never lost my sense of humor from the time I was, well, even the time that I was coming out of the natural, because apparently I was starting to come out of the natural coma around Christmas, but they had to put me back into a medically induced coma because my brain was just, I flung myself out of the bed up in Springfield on Christmas night. And I was started talking like all this. My mom has, she, God love my mother and my family, but they videotaped all this. It's like my sister said, Chris, they had you on so much fentanyl. I don't know how you didn't die from it. But I wanted my vitamin D, Red Cap, whole milk, rum chata. I've never had a rum chata in my life. I wanted my truck keys, my jacket. I was getting the hell out. I wanted a cigarette. I wanted to smoke some pot. I mean, and then, they medically induced me back into the coma, which I, eventually woke up from on 1/12/22 because you just couldn't keep me down. Even I'd. And the funny thing is, my sister, so she got to work with me. She had me like try to scribble stuff and write my name on an iPad and whatnot. But the very first drawing, I can actually send it to you. I drew an angel.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like the outline, you can see the wings, I'm like the best artist, but it's crazy.
If someone listening, Chris, right now feels, broken by life just in general, what's the first thing you would tell them?
Life on earth is a gift. Every second, live it like it's your last. Don't give up on anything. It's too precious. It's too beautiful. Don't ever give up. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. I don't mean it metaphorically that way, but I mean, it'll always get better. We can achieve, we can overcome, we can succeed and exceed in anything. Like I said, you just got to dig down deep for that tequila and that sugar water. No matter how shitty things look, how bleak things are, it can get better. Trust me, I guarantee you that. I'm proof of it.
After everything that you've survived, what is something ridiculously normal in life now that you used to take for granted, but it makes you genuinely happy now?
I'm able to sing again. I got my pipes. I mean, I'm unable to play guitar. I will. I bought a brand new one. It is sitting in the spare bed in my daughter's room now, just sitting there collecting dust, but I'm going to play it again. I mean, I have to. And one other thing I want to add, women out there, if you have a crazy, psychotic ex-boyfriend, or if you had an abusive relationship, get out of it now. I mean, nobody needs to be abused verbally, physically, or mentally by anybody ever. Ever.
Unfortunately, it looks like she tried.
Yep. Well, not, well, there was a text that they used in court that she had texted her best friend Annette. And she's like, I really need to cut ties with Bobby. One of these days, he's going to end up killing me.
Oh my gosh, she knew it was coming.
Yeah, they use
Oh.
that. That was evidence of court.
Wow.
I wish you would have told me though.
Yeah. I mean,
But
how
I
do you
wouldn't
explain
be
that
here
on a
with
first
you.
date? Hey, I have a psychotic ex that's probably going to blow both our
Well,
brains out.
yeah. I mean, well, then
Yeah.
she never would have told me because she know
Yeah.
when I went out there.
Exactly. You had a mission, Chris. I think you've honored it well. How can people find your book? How can they follow you? How can they get resourced with you?
You can go to chrissmithmotivateyou.com. You can get my book off there. And I even released my new single, Highway 61, on there, which I wrote about my dad. I called it's like country modern rock. It's more like a Brantley Gilbert type music. And it's
Okay.
written about my dad. Highway 61 is actually a premonition. I wrote it in 2003, recorded it for Capitol, but never released it till now.
Nice.
And the lyrics are on there. And if you read the lyrics, you'll get goosebumps because I mean it's like makes everything full circle. Because I wrote the song. The song is about me yelling at God,
Right.
literally
Oh,
yelling at
man.
why the chorus like why'd you take him from me for all
Yeah.
my family to see. I mean
Wow.
it's insane. I
Wow.
mean I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it.
Yeah. I'm going to have your links in the show notes. Chris, is this
Thank
the
you.
part of the show where I get to tell you what I think makes you special? And it's not just that you survived, it is truly what you chose to do afterwards. You could have stayed bitter. You could have been a victim. You could have been angry. You could have been broken. Instead, you fought like hell to
Yes.
declare, your brain function. And you came back with gratitude and the humor and the faith. And with a very important mission to help other people hold on to hope, and God bless your journey to bring people to
Yes.
Christ, because that's our mission. And I
I'm
think
just
what you're doing is rare. I think it's powerful. I think it makes you special. To everyone listening, no matter how dark it gets, you are
Yes.
not done yet. I know life can be
Correct.
hard. I know some stories don't make sense. I know some pain changes you forever. But if you're still here, there is still a purpose in your life, because God does not waste survival. So
Exactly.
please find the gratitude, be courageous, and remember that your mess is your message. Even the trauma, even the loss, even the moments you thought you couldn't make it, that's where your testimony is built. If this episode speaks to you, do me a favor, share it out. There's someone that needs to hear Chris's story for whatever reason, and we can't do that without your help. So it's a very selfless act to share the episode with someone who needs it. And make sure you guys leave a review. Stars are cute, but leaving words gets Chris's story up in the algorithm. Okay. If you guys are ready for the hot seat, I dare you to come tell me why you're special. Chris, thank you so much for speaking to my audience today and for
Hey,
sharing your story. This was great.
thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.